Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Christmas morning.
Rise up, shepherd, and follow.
He will lead you to the place where the Savior. This is Jimmy James live. Merry Christmas, folks.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Soul Sister family.
Dean, want to say hello?
Indeed.
Merry Christmas.
We are all here tonight at Christmas night, and it's been a really fun-filled day. We've had Jimmy James here with us, Dean Milo. He is the host of Center Sanctuary on Soul Sister Sunday. It's right after Reboot. And Dean made us an amazing meal. Dean, what was that piece of meat?
We did a New York roast.
A New York roast.
What makes it a New York roast versus a like West
Brooklyn.
Coast or West Coast, you know, roast?
New York roast is like a new cut from the New York strip.
New York strip.
Yeah,
there's like, not a West Coast strip?
Like a New York steak. And so you like when you go and get a New York steak?
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Well, we had a great meal, and Jimmy was here last night as we had our little slumber party, but the ghost got to him. So
I didn't get much slumber.
Why? Tell us. What?
That little man over there got jumped down and walked over and kept tickling my feet while I was trying to sleep last night.
And then?
He ran me out of here.
The little man is the little choir guy.
No, he is not
it
a choir.
It might have been
the
girl. I don't know. My foot.
They're not choir
hot.
People. They're called carolers.
They're
animated carolers. And Jimmy.
Battery operated carolers.
No, they're electric carolers.
They're not battery operated.
But there's
that's
music
right.
coming from over there.
That's from Jiminy's
that's
computer.
Jiminy's computer.
Okay.
Well, we're here today, and again, we were all together and decided to go ahead and sit around and talk about what we've been talking about, and that is
we've been experiencing it in general. The holidays.
Holidays.
What the holidays are supposed to be and what's the reality of the holidays.
Yeah, because most of the time, the truth of the matter is, happy holidays to all of you, but most of the time, holidays suck for me.
And I think this is a time where a lot of people are going through a lot, and a lot of people feel lonely, and we don't talk about that. We talk about the joy and you know, gift giving, which is great because Jesus, in fact, was the best gift that we can receive, but we've lost meaning of what Christmas is, and there is so much hurt in this world because we've lost our focus, and this is what we're dealing with.
I want to chime in here. Merry Kwanzaa to everybody here.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. I mean, really, get it right. I mean, if you're gonna.
I'm not even Kwanzaanese, and I know what that is.
What is Kwanzaa?
Can you explain the Kwanzaanesian?
Kwanzaa is the Afro-American version of the holiday celebration.
Okay.
I'm not sure what it is because I'm Afro-American.
And you don't know what
but
it is.
But he's not from
not
Africa.
Sure.
Not from Africa.
Okay.
His color is the same. It's like you can't judge a book by its cover because he has...
No butt.
Well, yeah, he has a skinny butt. However, he is of dark skin. But he's not really African.
He's not African.
Oh, okay.
Are you African?
Are you African? Do you come from a tribe?
No, but I could probably throw a spear.
This is Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, he should have been a runner. He has such skinny legs.
I was a runner until I hit my knees a couple of times.
Oh, that hurt.
Yeah.
Anyway, we all came together tonight because we want to talk about certain things, and we're a family, and traditions aren't the same. Yesterday, we were standing in line to do Santa Claus. We were standing
no,
in line.
Awful.
To, I know that wasn't what I meant, but okay.
We were standing in line.
Santa was happy.
To take a photo
with Santa
because it's like reliving a childhood memory.
Yeah, we have
every year we would go and take a picture with Santa. And it was two little girls that put their ribbons on, and we went and took a picture with Santa. And actually, the Santa was really cute.
He was cute.
He was adorable.
He made us sit on his lap.
He didn't make us.
Yes, he did.
He said, sit here, but he didn't make us. Nobody's obligated, Maria.
Okay.
Okay?
Whatever.
Not obligation.
He invited you to his lap.
Yes, because, yes. But he was very proper.
But the reason why I bring that up is because we were standing in line, and there was a new normal kind of family that was standing behind us. And it's interesting because I'm probably not going to be politically correct right now, but I'm wondering, you know, why it is that we have to be okay with, I don't know. It was just really weird. I don't know how you want to say it. How would I like to describe what being politically correct?
Well, you got to look at two sides. This couple is trying to do something amazing for this child in their act of adoption. However, it's what we get to see now. We saw two male gay couple with a baby girl, and she was a precious little thing. But it makes you wonder, really, what kind of upbringing is this child going to have?
It's probably going to be wonderful and loving and terrific and great, right?
However,
you're not talking to me because I really can't comment on this because I won't be politically correct.
How do you feel?
Well, you know, the way I feel, can I tell them how I really feel?
Yeah, I want you to tell.
Because you know how I really feel. I stated this at dinner.
Without using curse words.
Yeah, don't curse.
You got any beeps then?
Beep, beep.
Santa Claus is beep, beep, beep. Sis.
Okay, how do you really feel?
Well, I just don't like Santa Claus. He's just a lie. He's not real. And people start telling their children these stories, and they grow up believing it. Then sooner or later they find out that it was a lie, and it breaks their heart. A lot of times I've seen younger people find out Santa Claus wasn't real, and they aren't happy about it. So I feel like we live in a rough enough world today that when children start to grow up, we should always try to tell them the truth and always try to work the trust out from the parent, you know, get the trust from the parent, because you tell a kid Santa Claus is real, then he's not real, but Christ is real. They're going, you lied to me once, you might be lying to me again. You just should always tell the truth to your children. And I think the Santa Claus lie is passé. You don't have to tell him that lie to get the joy out of Christmas anymore. You don't have to go sit him on his lap and have that fat man sit there and ask him if they've been good or bad or not, when he's probably been in the bar drinking all year until he got the Santa Claus job.
Bad Santa. Well,
you know, so that's how I feel about Santa Claus. We weren't?
No.
Jenny, that takes away from the true Saint Nicholas of the Scottish Order many years ago.
Actually, let Dean tell you about that.
I have no idea about.
Okay, what about is Rudolph real?
Rudolph is real.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we're here together tonight.
I'm going
because
back to sleep.
We are a new normal of family, and there seems to be a new normal going around the world, and we have to be okay with it. And so, good. We're all here, and this is our new normal, and we're okay with it, right?
I guess we're supposed to think like it's okay, but it's not what rings true to what we are called to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't be judgmental per se, but doesn't mean I think it's right. I mean, I have to accept everybody for who they are and what they choose to be, but I guess once you know the truth, you can't really deny it. So I'm not going to deny the truth, although I'm faced with a fact that exists.
And things are changing in the world. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we will be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio. Jimmy James, we're back live again, folks. Christmas evening 2012. Is everybody happy? We're talking about happiness.
Happy, and I have to tell you, Jimmy is wearing a tiara on his head.
Why? Because he is.
Because I'm happy. Some call it gay, but I'm just happy.
No, but what else?
Wait, Dean,
you're our chosen. You're our chosen.
Oh. And God crowned you. You're a prince.
I'm the future Dark Knight.
Future Dark Knight.
Yes,
you will be.
Is there a Dark Knight so far?
No.
I'll be the first Dark Knight?
Yeah, and you will be sorted.
Will I get a Batmobile?
No, but you'll get sorted.
But you'll get a black horse.
Whatever you want.
Okay.
So Dean is our princess, and he looks so cute with it. Put it back on your head.
Princess graduate.
It's our princess graduate.
Yeah,
little,
dude, it's pink. Wear
pink.
It, dude. Wear
it's
it.
A feather.
Wear
he's so
pink,
cute.
Wear the
and
pink
Magdalena
proudly.
And Magdalena is wearing
the Empress crown. If you come close and just ding.
Ding.
It dings. So it's all
not
good.
Dean.
It
not
jingles.
To be confused with Dean.
So anyway, I want to introduce the new show that is going to be coming live to Little Sister Radio. It's actually the Jimmy Dean Show. Yes. And Jimmy Dean, you're going to be talking actually to our atheists.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about sausage, because if you're an atheist, you're probably going to wind up sausage at some point. So we're going to work on your soul and your spirit and try to get to the core of the sausage.
We're going to grind you up. We're going to grind you up and then put you in a funny casing and put you on a grill.
Okay, I got a question, though, for you, gentlemen. What made you choose to really focus on that demographic of people, the atheists out there, which I want to throw out a happy Merry Christmas and happy holidays to Mark Silver of Robbins Brothers, my Jewish atheist great buddy friend, because when the boys came up with this show, I thought about you because you would be great. And you met Mark, I think, a couple of times. So why did you guys choose the atheist demographic to speak to?
You want to go on this? Oh, because they're the hardest ones to connect to. The atheists have got no belief because of the fact that they've probably been approached by every belief. And so you got to put it to them a different way. And I like the challenge. And I've studied enough to know how to get to them, to make them at least think about their spirit.
Because we're all atheists in a way. That's what it is about being a sinner. You know, that's your atheism comes in. So we're all atheists in a way. We're going to challenge authority. We're going to be a doubting Thomas. We're going to be true to what we are, and we're going to tackle it, and we're going to take it down.
Take it down. What does it take? What does it mean to take it down?
Take it down, down.
I understand that you said that word, but what are you really trying to do when it comes down to it? What's the core matter of what you're trying to do and voicing your rebuttal to the atheist?
And you're trying to lead them to at least the faith that they have a spirit that they have to work on saving, that you have to convince the atheist that there's a threat to their non-belief and that the only salvation is to have some type of belief. So
and believe.
We lead them to Christ, babe. We lead them back to where they've already heard the story of Christ.
They already heard the story of Christ.
They rejected it, so we got to get them back to it.
Yeah.
And how do we do that? I mean, how do we really do that?
You watch the Jimmy Dean Show. That's how you do it.
We're going to be Jimmy listening, Dean. And we're going to be shooting live because we are going to be starting SoulSisterTV.com.
Yeah.
And we are going to be doing it on the Google Plus format, and Jimmy is going to be learning.
Yeah,
we got
cameras.
And so it's going to be coming up, and so it will be something we will visually see and something we will be audibly hearing.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
You will be able to hear and witness the making of the sausage, people.
Can you describe the Jiminy and the Deanie?
The Jimmy Dean?
Yeah.
Jiminy Deanie?
Yeah, the Jiminy Deanie.
It's the grinding of the best cuts.
Wow.
And when you mix the two and you squeeze it out through a sausage machine, it's quite tasty.
Yeah.
The grinding of the best cuts, which is probably meaning the best philosophies, the best thoughts, the best ways to get that atheist to come around.
Okay.
And not just that, you know, we're out there to tackle the intelligent people that have a reason to be atheists, and that we're gonna face the battle that they face, which is intelligence, and that's what we're going after.
Okay, so why do you think you're attracted to these kind of people? I know one of them is because they're intelligent. Okay. But you like these guys?
I just find it. I think because of the way that I was educated and because of my path, that I was just put on the path to have that conversation with people that felt that way.
Okay, and for some of those people out there that don't know what your path is, you want to share with them who Jimmy James Harris is and what path you are on and all about Message Mon and what you're doing. And not only that, you need to plug.
I'm a mysterious, mysterious person. I'm getting more and more mysterious by the day. As I walk into public places, people just can't help but look at me and notice how mysterious I am. And I've gotten so mysterious that lately I painted my fingernails black. So some call it spooky. I call it mysterious. And it's because of the fact that I feel like I know too much, and I just have to share it, you know.
Okay, but can you share who you are?
Yeah, I'm a mysterious dude that's going to be the Dark Knight, and I'm looking for a Batmobile like Batman.
But dark as in what? Not as in dark as in evil, but dark as
dark
in...
Dark as in...
Like, you know, there's white meat and there's dark meat.
Dark meat, I wear black, and I'm mysterious.
Okay.
And well, I'm a character, can you tell?
Yeah.
My dating profile is Mystery and Danger on
TOF.
On
what?
POF,
Mystery and Danger.
Yeah.
And what's POF again?
Plenty of fish.
Look at that, Dino. I'm buns
of fun.
Actually, you're all wrong on what it stands for.
What, plenty of fish?
No, it stands for put out first.
Oh, gosh, that's so
bad.
That is awful.
Awful.
I'm sorry.
However,
you're not
plenty of fish needs to pay us to plug them right now. Oh, terrible.
Like, we all look at the TV. You know what they're doing? They're showing all the deceivers.
The deceivers.
Egged him.
We're looking at Arnold Schwarzenegger on the TV and someone egged him. Look at Maria. I would have wanted to slap him. Gosh. Anyway, here we are on Christmas Day. And we're going to play our next song, which is actually a song that I love. I introduced Jimmy to a singer last night, and it was a blast from the past from him. And we're going to play her song.
Vanessa Williams?
That's right. You loved her, right? So we're going to play Mary's Little Boy Child.
Something Hope this is not over.
All of our archive listeners about you. Wow. The numbers keep going up, and I get humbly blessed as every month I see that we go from little to a lot. And it's been pretty phenomenal. Even though our live listeners are a lot higher this month than they were last month, it's our archive that I am blessed by, because you guys actually go in, push that button, listen to the show. And you're obviously telling people. So I want to thank all of you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I also want to thank our sponsors. Dean, I'd like for you to share who your sponsors are on your show. And this is for Sinner Sanctuary and also the Jimmy Dean Show coming soon to Soul Sister Radio.
Well, you know, we'd like to thank our sponsors. Without them, we're nothing, and that is, first of all, Rebecca Lawler Limited. Secondly, Serve Pro Santa Ana. Thirdly, B&B Builders out of Mission Viejo. And, of course, fourth, Jimmy James, the man, the myth, the greatest that ever was.
The message man.
Okay.
Hey, Jimmy, why don't you tell?
We're taking Jimmy to the top.
Hey,
the top. Where?
That top.
This year, Jimmy is going to make it on one of those TV shows.
That's
and we're going to be his angels wearing those white dresses.
And you know what? We're just going to stand behind you, and we're going to go.
We're going to be like the little girl.
That's right.
But you're going to have to keep me on tune.
But well, we need crowns.
Jimmy, we're going to take it to what we talked about last week. Our first single, Love Gravy.
What's Love Gravy?
Our first
single. Oh,
no.
You don't know?
I don't know about the Love Gravy, but okay. I'm ready to find out.
So, we're ready to find out. And, Jimmy, why don't you share with the audience where they can get a hold of you, your website, where you're going to be, and how they can get in touch with you so they can bless you by hiring you for one of their upcoming events.
Yeah,
you can find
show?
Me in a couple of places. I'm Jimmy James, but my alter ego is Message Mon.
Message Mon.
Message Mon. It's my angel name, my purpose, and I try to separate the two different entities because one is going to take you into your spirit, and the other one is going to take you to my bank account. And
love it. So where are you playing? Tell them what you do. He's a singer. He performs
singer, music
live.
Producer, video editor, graphic artist, web designer.
You got it.
Anything you can do with a computer, I'm pretty good at.
And where are you going to be playing?
This weekend is pretty much private because it's New Year's Eve.
I will be at
Big Shots on the 28th.
Big Shots.
Big Shots on the 28th in
Lake
Forest.
Big Shots off of El Toro in Lake Forest, California. What time will you be there?
9 o'clock. 9 to 1.
9 o'clock. We're going to have to talk to the owners of Big Shots too. You see, it's all about sponsorship, and we want to thank all of our amazing sponsors again. And Magdalena, would you like to say anything? And because I really want to also right now, not to bring it down, but I want to lift it up. But I know that there are a lot of parents out there that are grieving. Well, that's kind of cute, but they are grieving because they have lost their children, and all of their children are joyfully spending a happy birthday on Jesus's table, and they're celebrating and birthday cakes
and
candles
and singing.
And so I really want Magdalena to pray over all those parents that are grieving to know that your kids are joyful in heaven and they have no idea that there is sadness because it is Christmas time every day for them. And so those mothers out there that are hurting, especially Mama, when your two sons are up in heaven and they are joyful with all of these new angels that we have, the 20 that went up to heaven and along with Jesse and Pastor Eric Reese. I feel you, my friend, my soul brother, and not having Jesse this Christmas, I know, and I got to see her beautiful face and of her Christmas last year just a couple of weeks before God called her home. And so I just want to make sure that you know that you're being thought of tonight, sir, and that I cannot wait to move forward with our A Heart for Jesse and what we're going to do and how we're going to raise awareness for children who are suffering from cancer. So
Susan.
Susan, yes, my gosh, Susan as well. In fact, I was just reading about Susan, and I know that she also is joyful in heaven and with her mama. And know, my dear sister, that I will be taking Brame.biz to a whole new level this year with my brother's help, as it is something that God has called on him to really focus on with me, and I really appreciate that because raising awareness on cops that are having issues, this isn't about pointing in fingers, but to really raise awareness that we have issues of post-traumatic stress disorder with our law enforcement on the street. So we're just going to make it aware of all that. So Susan Murphy Milano, rest in peace and be joyful in heaven, my sister.
Well, the thing is, we have so many angels in heaven really, like, rooting for us. Just even with Danielle, I think, of little pink boots in heaven.
Yes.
Trotting along in her little horsey.
That's right.
And really how the children are happy next to our Savior Jesus, and that he is our strength, and, well, he is my strength, I guess I can say. And although there's times where you feel like you're just holding on by a pinky, but even in that pinky, there's strength and how we hold on, because really holding on to the Word of God, it's either we grip onto it with all our life, like we're, you know, on a cliff, holding on for dear life, or we can choose to let go, and it depends on us what kind of a grip we're going to have, and it's really us feeding ourselves with the Word of God, and that is truly our salvation. And I just think of Mary, how she would pray, and, you know, that perhaps that she would be the mother of the Savior, and God chose her. And I just think it's because she had God's word implanted in her heart, and she lived to please God our Father, and God blessed her. God blessed her because he blessed her heart. She knew that she had a heart for his purpose, and when the angel came to her, she took it upon and said, you know, if it's, you know, pretty much if it's God's will, then I am his servant, and I declare my servant to God and my servitude to God. And it's not an easy role to take, because being a servant, that means that people can take advantage of our giving hearts. But you know what? That's what Jesus, he laid down an example. He washed his disciples' feet. He took the lowliest place on earth, yet he gave so much. So to be a servant in this world for him, and suffering is part of it, and it says that, you know, we will suffer in his name, and I just pray for blessings for those who have taken on the cross to follow Jesus, because those who believe and are willing to walk the walk, we will be persecuted, and we will be persecuted because we're doing the right thing, because it's easier to do the wrong thing and fit in with the rest of the world, but when we stand out to do the right thing, we get persecuted. And I just want to pray for those who are standing firm in the faith, everybody in third world countries, or just especially in the Middle East right now. There's so many people whose lives are being taken away, but that just means that more angels are going to heaven. It's just a catch-22. So I pray, and I thank all our angels in heaven. Thank you, Father God, for the Mary of your son, Father, that he does bring joy to the world, and he is our hope, and he is our peace, and he is the greatest gift that you gave us. And thank you for the blood that he shed, and thank you for reminding us that we are nothing without you, and that you are our everything. And thank you for painting beautiful landscapes for us, Father. Thank you for all the beautiful things, because that is just a reflection of your goodness. Even in the worst of worst people, you still bless them with goodness, Father, so they can see, hopefully see, Father. And we pray for those who are empty inside and just are in a gray zone, Father, that they may be led to the light, that your light may shine upon them, Father, that you can teach mercy and forgiveness, because in this world we need so much of that. You bestow your love upon us, that we can share your love, because by this people will know that we are disciples. And it really means to love those who are ill, not those who are just spiritually well-fed. We need to feed those who are hungry and don't even know it, Father. So we thank you for your angels. Thank you for the wisdom that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for all the prophets and the prophetess in the Bible, Father. And that we can really change people's lives through just learning what it is to trust you. And you know, in a sense, it's like you got the party bus, Father. You have the best ride ever. And I can't wait to be pimping with you in heaven, having fun, rejoicing, and just being everywhere with you in spirit, Father. We love you, in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And that's Magdalena Gomez from Maria Magdalena Ministry, and she is one of our hosts on Reboot on Soul Sister Sunday. And again, we have Dean Milo here. Dean, I want to thank you for joining us tonight.
He has to do a sinner sanctuary moment.
I need you to come and do a little spot of what sinner sanctuary is, kind of explain to our audience what it is, and so they can start to prepare on where to find you on Facebook as well, since you will be starting to share more and more on what Sinner Sanctuary is and the upcoming shows that you're going to have every week. So why don't you share with our audience what it is all about?
Well, Sinner Sanctuary is a show that we do on Reboot.
It's about
us, about everybody. Listen, it's about everybody in the whole world. We all share only one thing. We don't share anything besides one common bond. We're born sinners. This is not something that's taught. It's something that's innate. We all have it. It runs through our blood. we share this. The only common thing we share, you guys, you don't share any other common trait except one thing, and that is we're all born sinners, powerless against it, in need of a Savior. Figure out what we need to do to equate our sinful natures. We all, what sin has got you down? You know, who cares? The fact is that you are. That's what we do there, and we figure out what we're going to do and come to the realization we need a logical Savior. And that's what we do in the sanctuary. We come to the grips what we are, and we like it.
Dean's show is actually pretty spectacular. The numbers are going up fantastically, if that's a word, fantastically. And I'm really proud of you, my brother. And if you haven't tuned in, we are live, starting with A Heart for Worship with Becky, who comes live every week from the state of Washington, Spokane, Washington. And it is called A Heart for Worship, and she starts at 7:30 a.m., and we start reboot at 8 a.m., and then Dean goes live at 9 a.m., and this is all Pacific Standard Time. We also have The Advocate with Susan Schinziger, and that is every Thursday at 5 o'clock Pacific Time, and it is an amazing show.
We should call her Susie Schwarzenegger.
Susie, yeah, she'll love that. She is an author of
The Terminator.
Yeah, exactly.
She is the Terminator of the Demonator.
And she's also a new dame under the Imperial Order of St. Helen, so we're excited to also have her on the team as far as that goes. Anyway, we are going to go ahead and close off. We want to thank you for joining us here on Christmas Eve. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to do one more Christmas song, and we're going to close out. Actually, we're going to do a commercial. We're going to do a Christmas song, and then we're going to go right into a rerun of Pastor Eric Reese, who was on one of our shows, A Heart for the Community. And this was a show that we had on Wednesdays, and he was one of our guests. So I would like to play A Heart for Jesse here after, so you will really get to know who Eric Reese is and who Jesse was and how her spirit really truly changed all of our paths. And it was one of the reasons why we launched Soul Sister Radio and what we have done in the year since Jesse has passed. So her anniversary of her death is coming up January 5th. So we are preparing, and A Heart for Jesse is going to be launched. And, yeah, Heart for Jesse will be launched, and I want to send a special thank you to PJ of Gem Shopping Network for really, really taking this under his wing, because he knows how important A Heart for, is to all of us. So thank you again for joining us live here on Soul Sister Radio, and we will see you on, when will we be seeing you? On Thursday, The Advocate. And then we will see you on Sunday on Soul Sister Radio. We'll see you soon.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio. Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Underneath the trees, we watch the sky, confusing stars.
Welcome to Soul Sister Radio, and this is Soul Sister Wednesday and Heart for the Community with Doreen Wong. Take it away.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for listening today. You know, we have a very special guest with us, and I have to be honest, I'm a little nervous about who's on our show today because I've had a chance to do some research and look at this foundation and the legacy of this wonderful little girl, and your heart just melts. and you can't do anything but want to get involved. And so please help me welcome today Mr. Eric Ries, who is Jesse's dad of the Jesse Ries Foundation. Welcome, Eric. How are you?
Oh, Doreen, thank you so much. Don't be nervous. We'll have a great time. We're doing okay. Thank you so much for having us on. And we look forward to sharing, you know, Jesse's story with your audience and hopefully getting more and more people to want to help us help children fighting these terrible diseases. Never, ever give up.
You know, thank you so much. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Jesse so that our listeners can get a little bit of background on her life and her story.
Oh, sure. Thank you for letting me share that. Jesse was, prior to March 3rd, 2011, Jesse was a beautiful, healthy, competitive swimmer that loved food and fashion and family and, was super involved at her church and just everything was just a, everything was growing great. And then on March 3rd, 2011, we were told that Jesse had a brain tumor, and it was in her brain stem, and it was inoperable. And unless there was going to be some major, major medical breakthrough very quickly, it was incurable. And so my wife and I, spent many, many sleepless nights trying to find the best treatment for Jess. And, we got Jesse into a clinical trial here locally in Orange County, California, called Children's Hospital of Orange County. And, we focused on the 1% chance that Jess had. And that was where we put our time and energy as she courageously fought, this terrible, terrible disease.
Yeah, and having been, diagnosed with cancer myself, I can only picture, what it was like for me to go through it. I don't know if I would have the strength, to be a child and go through it. Because even though she was going through this and she was going through radiation, it was during this time that she actually, turned to you and your wife and with this incredible mission to never, ever give up. And her focus was really on others.
We were constantly inspired by Jess and what she wanted to do. I mean, she always told us fighting cancer made her feel lonely and limited. Mm-hmm. And so she chose, to help all the others. And Jessie's treatment plan included radiation and chemotherapy, and she was an outpatient. Her plan was outpatient. And so every day we would drive to the hospital. She'd have radiation, she'd have chemotherapy, and then we'd drive home. And so shortly after her treatment plan started, she was in the back seat. My wife was in the passenger seat. We're driving home, and she just asked, "Hey, when do all the other kids come home?" Because we didn't spend a lot of time as a family at the local children's hospital prior to all this. And Jesse just didn't realize that there was a floor dedicated to kids. And at Children's Hospital Orange County, there's a little over 140 beds that kids have a different treatment plan. And we just told her, honey, you see that third floor? There's kids there that have a different plan than you. And they don't get a leave because their treatment plan's what's called inpatient. And so the next words out of her mouth have literally changed our lives because she said, "How can we help them?" And I'll never forget looking over at my bride. She's kind of fanning her eyes because she's getting emotional that here's our 12-year-old daughter. At that time, she was actually 11.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, "How can we help these other kids?" And she's going through one of the most brutal things any child should ever have to go through. And so we just kind of, you know, kind of like, hey, we'll come up with something. Maybe we can do something for him. Didn't think much about it. We got home. We got Jesse on the couch, just kind of settling in. My wife and I would always kind of huddle up in our office just to, a little outside of Jesse's ears just to make sure we were talking, hey, what did you hear? What did the doctor tell you? Kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we came out of that room. To our surprise, Jesse had moved from the couch to the kitchen island. And she was actually coloring and putting stickers on some lunch bags that we use for, you know, lunches. And I went and asked her, what are you doing? She goes, well, I thought maybe I could put one of my Beanie Babies in these bags, and I'm writing, get well, thinking of you. And she would put, like, smiley stickers and stuff. And I remember going, you're serious about this? And she said, yeah, let's. I want to help the kids that can't leave the hospital. And so that was the genesis of this. And then I told her, I said, honey, I don't know what the requirements are in hospitals. I need to talk to them next time we go to treatment. And then we found out that, you know, there's certain requirements that children's hospitals have regarding getting toys and different mm-hmm. things. And so we mapped all that out, and we ended up sitting around as a family, and Jesse's middle name was Joy. And so Joy and Jars just kind of rhymed and went together.
Went together,
and
yeah.
And so that was the essence and the start of her little Joy Jars, which actually became kind of a positive distraction to her treatment. And, you know, in her 10-month and 2-day courageous fight, she actually helped stuff and send out over 3,000 jars to children. And, you know, today we've now sent over 22,000 jars to children. And, you know, her wish is that every kid fighting cancer is encouraged to never, ever give up and receives a boost of joy in one of her Joy Jars.
Wow. I read the story on your website, but actually being able to hear you share it with me and our listeners, I actually have goosebumps.
Yeah, it's been the most amazing thing, and it was all started by an 11-year-old girl that, and again, we weren't like going, Jesse, you should do something. I mean, it just, she thought of the idea, and we just felt like it would be something that would be a positive distraction, and it became one.
Right. You know, and it probably just, you know, it filled her heart with joy to be able to kind of share and bring joy to these other kids. You know, I was looking at your Twitter account and the photos that is being posted under at We Nagu for Kids. And
right. The
photos of these children, they have such light around them, and their smiles are so huge, and you can see them holding, you know, their jars and the stuff that's in their jars. And, you know, it filled my heart with so much joy. I mean, there really is no other word for it. And so the Joy Jars actually is a perfect name. And you start to think, or I started to think, like, what else could I be doing? Like, how else can I get involved? You know, what else could be done? You know, what are some ways that, you know, we could be doing more?
Well, I mean, there's different opportunities. I mean, one of the things that we had told Jesse early on in her diagnosis is, honey, we have to let friends and family, and she was part of a really big swim team here locally, and the church people. I mean, just we needed to let everybody know what was happening with you. And so I had said, you know, there's a thing called Caring Bridge. And her face changed. She did not want to be on that because she associated being on Caring Bridge with dying. And so I said, okay, well, what about Facebook? And I remember her saying, I'm not 13, and I'm like, I don't really care. let's not worry about what age you are. And so I said, let's create a fan page. And she ended up, you know, it became another positive way because she would use that. She blogged for almost 7.5, almost 8 months of her diagnosis. She wrote daily. She posted on Facebook. And she loved to actually go and encourage other kids that had these Facebook fan pages, and she called it her Joy Mob. And so one of the first things that any listener can do is go to facebook.com/JessieReese Foundation. It's JessieReese Foundation. And like our page and then become part of the Joy Mob, because we have over 150,000 members that help go spread joy just through leaving encouragement as they're fighting. So that's a really simple way to get involved. Another thing you could do is you could make a donation to the Jessie Reese Foundation, and our website is jessie.org, J-E-S-S-I-E.org. And for $20, provides the resources to us to buy stuff and ship a joy jar to a child, you know, what we call a courageous kid. Mm-hmm. So that's another way you can get involved. You can, if you know of a child that is fighting these terrible diseases, you can go to the Jessie Reese website at jessie.org and request a joy jar to be sent to these families and to these children. So there's some, those are kind of three simple ways people can get involved in helping us help these kids and families be encouraged to never, ever give up and spread a little bit of hope and joy.
Well, you know, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk more about Jessie's Reese Foundation and her beautiful legacy that she's left. We'll be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
And we're back with Heart for the Community, and our guest today is Eric Reese, talking about the Jessie Reese Foundation and his daughter's motto of never, ever give up. You know, we were talking about how, you know, listeners could engage and help support this wonderful organization. And it takes $20 to be able to bring joy to a child's heart. For many listeners, you know, $20 is what we spend on, you know, lunch or dinner. And instead we could be bringing happiness and light and joy to a child who is fighting cancer. So welcome again, Eric. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thanks again for having me. It's been a great conversation, and just thank you for the opportunity to share Jessie's dreams.
You're welcome. You know, one of the things that I read on your website was that you actually have a junior board of directors. And they have a fundraising goal of $50,000 a year. And having been a nonprofit for many years and being on several different boards, you know, some boards are not a give or get kind of board. Like they just do operational. And so to have a junior board of directors who have a financial goal is amazing. Do you want to talk a little bit about your junior board of directors?
Oh, sure. Well, we felt, you know, the Jessie Reese Foundation is a, you know, nonprofit 501c3 charity. And we just felt that because our mission is children. We are a pediatric cancer care foundation. We don't give money to a cure. And the reason behind that is when we started the foundation, I asked Jessie, do you want your foundation to be about care or about a cure? And she said, care, Daddy. And there's some amazing, amazing organizations around the United States and the world that raise millions and millions of dollars for a cure, and I hope someday they put us out of business. But Jesse was all about caring for the child during the treatment, not focusing on a cure, so that's why our focus is on care. And so we felt like our focus is on care and our focus is kids. Why not have a group of junior board members, meaning teenagers, helping lead this, because they have some amazing ideas. They're, you know, Jesse, you created Joy Jars. What else could be created for kids? And so we wanted to give these wonderful, compassionate teenagers a platform to raise money, learn about charity and nonprofit work, but at the same time, really make a difference in kids' lives. And, you know, so, like, for example, you know, they are helping put on our annual golf tournament that's coming up in September during Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. And they put on our annual what we call Joy Splash, which is like a fun swim meet, because Jesse was a swimmer. So we do an annual Joy Splash. And so, you know, they take on a couple initiatives to help get it into the community. Each of their high schools have a Club Migu club, which helps continue to raise awareness and resources. One of the things that they offer is, I mean, they do in their schools is what's called compassion change. And if you take a normal-sized water bottle and if you fill it with dimes, it basically raises $100. And so, you know, one water bottle full of dimes equals 5 Joy Jars to kids. And so, you know, there's been some really creative things that these wonderful, compassionate teenagers have come up with. And we just wanted to give them a platform because our focus is kids. And so what better way to have kids helping us help kids?
Right. You know, and it really shows, I think, you know, for a lot of nonprofits that there is such value in engaging youth. You know, they have such great ideas, and they don't always have that fear of, oh, gosh, what if it doesn't work? Oh, gosh, what if someone doesn't like it? You know, they focus so much on, you know, what they're passionate about and what the, you know, what their drive is, and they kind of see the world differently, that there's only possibilities.
You know, it's been great to work with them. And one of the things we do is we actually write micro grants to teenagers that apply for them to fund and help fund other creative, compassionate ideas like Joy Jars. Because we, again, believe that our big picture is that the Jesse Reese Foundation someday will become the Susan G. Komen of pediatric cancer. Because if you look at the landscape of the pediatric cancer world, there's really not one foundation at the top trying to really keep the awareness going and keep everything moving. And so, you know, that's our focus. That is in 5 years. We've been at it a year, and hopefully within 5 years we'll be a recognized symbol of hope, joy, and love to kids and families. But in that, we want to, part of our strategy is actually to get what we call compassionate kids, which are healthy kids, to care for the courageous kids, which are the children that are fighting. And I mean, even last night, I had the wonderful opportunity to go and speak to a, you know, group of 32, 7 and 8-year-olds for this Pop Warner football team locally that has put a iNigu 4 and then there's a child's name sticker on the back of their football helmets, and they're dedicating the whole season to kids fighting cancer. And so while their peers are in hospital beds no longer being able to play football, these guys can at least play on their behalf. And we feel that someday, you know, the Little Leagues and the AYSO soccers and all that, these youth of America will actually end up making the biggest awareness versus these corporations.
You know, and there's something very real and organic and I can't think of the right word, but endearing about that more grassroots kind of personal one-on-one connection in bringing out awareness. You know, I used to serve on the Komen board, and they do wonderful things. And I think actually you're well on your way to becoming, you know, the Komen of the pediatric cancer, you know, group industry. And I think at some point, and I know that, you know, when we worked with people, you know, they always felt that Komen was maybe this that company, that thing way out there. They didn't feel that sense of like, oh, I know someone, or, you know, that sense of connection, I guess. And I get the sense from hearing you speak that there is that strong connection between, you know, Jessie's mission and her wish and the awareness that you're creating.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad that you pointed that out, because, you know, we truly trying to build a strategy of what we saw Jessie do. You know, she had a certain way of making the joy jars. That's why so many people have said, hey, send us empty joy jars and we'll make them ourselves. And unfortunately, they're all made, or good or bad, they're all made at the Joy Factory here in Orange County, California, and then we ship them out across the world. Now we actually have gone global with them. But Jessie had certain rules, you know. They had to be stuffed. I mean, she'd always say, no air, meaning you cram that jar full of toys.
Mm-hmm.
She always would say, no cheesy toys, because she knew she didn't want any child to receive something that just looked cheesy. And then she knew that she always said, get them out fast, because time is a very important thing to a child, because their day changes constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just modeled everything. So we still hand-deliver joy jars the best we can to hospitals. We actually are now have the privilege and honor of partnering with several Olympic athletes and some professional football players, and hopefully even more and more players as this builds, to actually go and help deliver the joy jars. And we actually are releasing a new line of T-shirts for kids that says, I'm a Nigu kid. Because we want to continue to help them be encouraged and reinforced that there's this massive audience of people that are there for you, but it's also still personal. And we're here to encourage you at all stages of your treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Even families like my family that now has a child in heaven, the whole theme of never, ever give up takes on a whole new concept.
Right.
It keeps you out of depression. It helps you grieve differently, because there's a positive way of grieving, and we're, you know, my family is 7 months into this grieving journey. And so the idea of never ever give up is not just for kids in, you know, hospitals, it's for family members, it's for close friends. It really is a motto and a way of viewing life that can make an ordinary day extraordinary, no matter what the circumstances.
Exactly. And I'm so glad that you mentioned you know, about the family, because cancer does not just impact the person who's diagnosed. It impacts the entire family. It's a disease that changes the life of the individual, but everyone else around that person. And, you know, I wanted to ask, you know, how your family is doing. And I think you have two other kids. I saw a photo of Jessie, and I think it's her older sister, and it was so cute. She's just looking up at her like, you know, you could tell she idolized her.
Yeah. Thank you for asking. You know, we are doing okay. You know, I always tell people that I'm peacefully empty. I have peace because I believe in my heart that I'll see my daughter again and that she is cancer-free based off of just my faith. But I have peace, but I'm empty because I miss her every day. But in some different way, this whole ability to continue blessing other kids and families has become very therapeutic to my family. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my family still makes joy jars. We actually now send out a family pack. So siblings can also get joy jars because we know what it's like to have a child fighting cancer and then have two siblings trying to figure out what's going on. And, you know, the first couple of weeks Jesse was diagnosed, it was like Christmas at the house every day. People would just show up with gifts and gifts and gifts and gifts. And, you know, her older sister got jealous. She was like, gosh, you know, it's all about Jesse. Mm-hmm. And I understood that. And I wanted to be sensitive to that. So, you know, one of the things we chose to do is to say, hey, family, if you have a child, a courageous child fighting cancer, we will send you a family pack of joy jars. So we'll let them, you know, tell us what the other siblings like. And then we have a family jar that has like a Netflix coupon, popcorn, some candy, and just something to try to create a moment for the family, because the family is being pulled in so many directions. We're trying to pull them together.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of our listeners, you know, they are parents of children who, you know, either have a severe disability or going through treatment, you know, for cancer or some other you know, illness. And I'm wondering if you might be able to share some strategies that maybe you and your family use to you know, kind of get through it and make sure that your other kids felt like, you know, that they were involved and they were just as important and, you know, they were an equal.
Well, you know, I'm not any expert at this, and, you know, there's no book out. There's no website. There's no, you know, real game plan, because every child's different. Every family is different. But we kind of adopted we took the word love, L-O-V-E, and kind of adopted it as our strategy. And looking back, it has helped us and it continues to help us, but kind of the way we were going about it was L stood for let others help. We had to come to the point that we had to let others help us, and it's okay. And sometimes you might feel like you don't want to ask for help, you don't want to be a burden to somebody, but believe me, lots and lots of people around you simply just want to help, but they don't know how to ask sometimes. Or if they ask once and they are told, you know, I'm doing okay, they probably won't ask again. And so you just have to realize people that are close to you really want to help. And for my family, we had to let people help us.
Mm-hmm.
The O for our little 4 points was offer help to others. We just felt like, you know what, we're in this, but why not try to figure out how we can help somebody else in it too? And so and it kind of created this little bit of a support network here locally of other families that were a couple months behind us in treatment that we could kind of help coach. Because, you know, it's kind of when people are in recovery or something, sometimes they say, you know, the greatest person to talk to is somebody that has recovered from something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you're in the midst of unfortunately, a terrible battle, you have some experiences that you could pass on to somebody maybe a little bit behind you to help encourage them. The V just stood for value each other. And what I mean by that is we learned that in the midst of this panic, chaos situation of fighting cancer, you tend to, you know, really try to control things because everything else is coming out of control. And we just had to remind ourselves as a family, let's value each other's differences, because, you know, our kids dealt with things differently. My wife and I deal with things differently. But we just needed to make sure we were giving grace and really valuing each other and not expecting each person to operate the way we would want them to operate. And then lastly, just, you know, we just talked about encouraging each other, is just always being there for one another and creating an environment that allowed everybody to share their feelings and not have to just say, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because realistically, we always would say, there's no way you can be fine. We're in the midst of one of the scariest moments of our life. I mean, because Jesse, believe me, she had her moments of great fear and great anxiety and great worry. It wasn't like she was just this cheerleader that ran around going, never, ever give up. I mean, she was a normal, you know, she had her side, her times of great fear, great anxiety. But she also had some amazing moments of just, I want to help other kids. And she loved delivering the joy jars, you know, to kids and stuff. And so our little let others help us, offer help to others, value each other as a family, and at the end of the day, just encourage one another. Those little four things really help our family kind of navigate the constant flow of these waves would hit us during the treatment, and they've actually helped us through the grieving process too.
Wow. And it's, and I love that it's love, and you know, and because, you know, we're often taught that, you know, love conquers all, love can get you through things, it's the love of the your family. And I am wondering, because I had a friend of mine who lost his father very traumatically, and he got very angry, you know, with God, and kept asking, like, how could this happen? Why would you do this? And I'm sure that for parents to lose a child, that there are no words to describe how that feels. You know, how would you help someone or talk someone through who's lost a child and they have this sort of anger towards God, and kind of, you know, help them kind of get through that? Or is there a way to help them get through that?
You know, I don't know, Doreen, if there's a one pill to help them get through it.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that my strategy has always been just to be real and transparent with other parents, because I talk to other parents now on an almost weekly basis that have children that were just diagnosed, or children that are in their last days, or children that now are with Jesse. And, you know, I always just, one, obviously, you know, say I'm sorry, but I just tell them, you know, I had fears. I got angry at God. There was moments that I was, you know, he was not on my good side. I was like, I don't believe what's going on. How could you do this? I mean, they're natural emotions.
Mm.
And my sense is you got to process those. And some of the time, anger stems from not being able to let things out, good, bad, or indifferent. Just get it out.
Mm.
And so, you know, for me, if somebody comes to me and says, I'm angry, got it. No, first thing I say is, I understand. I was angry at God, believe me, more times than I wasn't. You know, and I didn't understand. And I still don't understand. But at the same time, every day I have a choice. I can either live in despair and great depression, or I can live with hope that I'm going to see my daughter again.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to judge anybody. It's just I have chosen to put my focus on the hope. Now, do I still have moments of thinking back to those and those moments and real feelings of being upset? And, you know, some days I still miss my daughter tremendously, and I get mad that God, you know, took her away. But at the same time, I realize that God doesn't owe me an answer.
Mm.
And in some strange way, maybe God needed Jesse in heaven more than he needed her here. And there was a reason for all of this. And, you know, for my family, we just believe that you can turn good out of really bad, and that at the end of the day, we've got to try to use whatever experiences come our way to help others. And so it's just part of the way that our faith is and the way we go about our lives is trying to love others, trying to encourage others, never judging others. I'm still working with a father here locally that his daughter had the same disease Jesse did, and his daughter is, you know, she lost her fight with the disease, and to this day he's still super, super angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. And I'm trying to just be there as an encourager, saying I'm caring for you, I'm praying for you. If you ever need me, I'm here. But people have to be allowed to go through their grieving journey. And I just try to, when I'm talking with parents, I just keep telling people, if you don't feel comfortable around me, you don't have to, but someplace, get it out.
Mm.
Because you're going to become like a Coke can shooken up, and you're going to explode someday.
Yeah.
And so, I don't have the answer. I wish I did, but I just try to encourage people to deal with their feelings and not fight them and not try to push them away.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I'm so glad that you shared. Thank you. Because, you know, I wonder if, you know, our listeners are like, oh, gosh, you know, he seems to be handling this so well. He's so focused, you know, on the foundation. But, you know, to hear from you that, no, it's still a struggle and it's still a process that you go through. And it's okay to go through that process. Like, you know, you don't always have to be the strong and the brave and the, you know, whatever those emotions are. But whatever they are, you know, just get them out. Just go through them. Just kind of release them is kind of what I got from you.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that's a great summary. Just release them and hopefully in a positive way. And again, if you, because, you know, statistics say that these kinds of, you know, situations, you know, tank marriages and separate families, and, you know, that doesn't have to be. But, you know, I think that a lot of the times, at least, let me just speak to the guys that I have met and the dads I have met, you know, guys sometimes have a hard time sharing their feelings and even embracing them as, you know, I'm upset, I'm, you know, and whatever, just embrace it and get it out versus trying to stuff it, because when you stuff it, it does not good for nobody. It just ends up hurting yourself and others. And that's, you know, what we even told Jesse, because she had moments where she was scared. When she got the second tumor, she was not happy. When we had to talk to her about, you know, there's a chance this isn't going to work and you might, you know, end up, you know, going to heaven, those were not easy conversations.
Right.
And she was scared and she, you know, was worried about, was anybody going to know her in heaven, and when were we going to get there and stuff. And, you know, that's just real life stuff. But, you know, we felt the best thing for Jess is to let her express what was going on so we could help best try to figure out how to coach her, because what we just didn't want to do is, you know, create this, you know, false sense of you're 100% cured.
Mm-hmm.
And we just knew that there was a slim chance that she could be cured, but at the same time, you know, we felt like, you know, there was a chance that wasn't, so we had to deal with those things.
Mm-hmm. I need to take a quick break again, and we'll be right back with more with Eric Reese.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
And we're back with Heart for the Community, and we're so pleased to have with us Eric Reese from the Jesse Reese Foundation. And we had just finished, you know, listening to Eric talk and share about his family's journey in coping and dealing and working through, you know, the loss of their beautiful daughter. You know, one of the things that you mentioned, Eric, was that the Joy Jars went global. And there's this global awareness now. And I know that I think it was earlier this week or late last week, there was the post that Jesse won the Diana Award for 2012. Do you want to share with our listeners what that is?
Yeah, that, you know, again, that was just one of those amazing blessings. And what had happened is that Lady Diana and her foundation gives out awards to children that are doing, you know, inspiring things in their schools and communities. And so actually one of Jesse's teachers had nominated Jesse for this, and then we realized that she was the recipient of the award last week, and it was just a, you know, an amazing honor because, you know, Lady Diana was such a caring person, and, you know, cared a ton about kids, and if you really learn about her life, she was very giving and so forth, and, you know, Jesse was a smaller version of her heart and model to care for others, and so we were honored to receive that recognition and Jesse have that award.
Yeah, and when I read about the award and then I clicked to the actual Diana Award site, you know, as I was reading it, I kept thinking, this is perfect. This is truly what I imagine, you know, Jesse to be like had I, you know, had the opportunity to meet her.
They did a great job.
You know, and I encourage our listeners to really visit Jesse's website at jesse.org. There are so many wonderful stories and information, and there's so many activities that the foundation is doing. I wrote some of them down, and maybe you can kind of share like how these came about. So the one that I wrote down first, because I'm such the gamer, I enjoy games of all kinds, was the Joy Factory game. So I spent a few minutes playing the Joy Factory game.
Yeah, that, you know, basically one of the things Jess wanted to do is, you know, figure out ways, because, again, all of these, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of children that sit in hospital beds, and, you know, the majority of them actually sit alone because their parents work. And so we were trying to come up with ways to leverage technology to keep kids, you know, engaged and distracted and, you know, and connected. And so the Joy Factory game was just a way for kids, because when they receive their Joy Jar, they're told about Club Migu, which is this, you know, online group of toys and things and games and activities for them to participate in on the website. And so, you know, they can send other jars to teachers and friends and everything just from their hospital beds. And so, you know, it's been a fun experience for kids and other members and of families to use. So that's been a fun little thing that we offer.
Yes, it was definitely a lot of fun. So it's fun for adults too.
Yeah.
And you also have Adventures of Migu Warriors. What is that?
Well, again, in the thrust of trying to give kids something to do, a way to encourage them, we came up with a comic series called The Adventures of the Migu Warriors. And we've written two editions, and they are available for online reading and PDF download. And they're basically two different storylines of kids that are affected by cancer, but how others around them encourage them to never, ever give up. So it's a tool to encourage kids to never, ever give up and help them in their fight. And so the first one is about a little boy and his fight through a hospital and how the Nigu warriors help attack his chemo, how he helps attack the tumors and stuff. And then the other one was about a little boy that actually was inspired by a boy here locally named Cade. And it's about a little boy that wants to become a Nigu warrior, and he has to go on mission and complete four tasks to become a Nigu warrior. And so they're tools to encourage kids to never, ever give up, and lots of kids are in into comics.
Mm-hmm. And adults, too. And so just for our listeners, so that you understand, if you've never been around or know much about, the statistics for pediatric cancer, I just want to share some of them. And so that our listeners can kind of sense like why, the Jesse Reese Foundation is so important, because there are so many children out there, courageous children, who are fighting these battles, and why I encourage all of you to get involved and support this organization. The American Cancer Society says there's about, they're estimating about 13,000 children in the U.S., that are under the age of 15 will be diagnosed this year alone. So it's almost like one in five kids. Another statistic is that half of all chemotherapy used for children's cancer are 25 years old, which when I read that boggled my mind. Like, how is that even possible? We have all of these different, cure-based organizations. How can the treatment for children be so far behind? And then I continued to read and found that the National Cancer Institute, they only budget 4% of their funding to go towards pediatric care and research and cure. And to me, that's not enough. I agree that cancer research overall is important, but to say that, kids only deserve 4% of it is a little skewed in my mind. I encourage our listeners to really get involved and, become really active with the Jesse Reese Foundation, and have a heart for Jesse. Basically, is what this show is about, to have a heart for Jesse. And on the website, I know that Eric, you shared a little bit. I think three ways people can support the Jesse Reese Foundation, but are there any other ways that you want to share or let our listeners know about any upcoming events? You talked about the golf tournament and the swim. Is there anything else?
We have a big golf tournament coming up here in Orange County on September 17th called the Nigu Classic. And you can, again, all that information is at jesse.org. So if any listeners are local, we'd love to have your support. The other thing is, we have requests now for over 20,000 holiday joy jars, because lots and lots of kids spend the holidays, especially Christmas, in a hospital bed. And so we are in the process of starting to actually make those. And so if anybody wants to, send us toys for Joy Jars. On the website, there's a list of approved toys. Sometimes local community organizations do what's called a Joy Drive, where they actually collect toys and then ship them to us. If you go to, you know, the jesse.org and click on, Team Nigu button, which is kind of our volunteer button, there's a little thing that says 10 great ways to get involved. And so there's a list there of great ways that you can get involved. You obviously can, you know, join us on Facebook. And, we're in the final stretch of every click for the last 30 days is a dollar. And so we've raised almost $5,200 in the last month. And so we have about 10 more days left in this month. And so if we get to 155,000 followers, we actually receive a $10,000 donation. So that's another simple way that somebody can just click like, and you've put a dollar in our abilities to spread joy.
Wonderful. So all of the listeners, both live and in the archive, I know you have a Facebook account. Go to Facebook, click like on the Jesse Reese Foundation, and just that simple act gives them a dollar. I can't believe our hour is already up. I hope that you would come back and share more about what's happening with the foundation and share more with our listeners as you continue to move forward and build Jesse's legacy. I want you to see this radio show as having an open invitation. Whenever you have something that you want to discuss, please feel free to call or email me and say, hey, Doreen, have this great thing for the show. Make time for us. And I will say,
well, thank you. It has been an amazing hour. And again, you just have continued, you and your listeners really do affirm us and support us and help us realize that what we're doing is making a difference. And we thank you so much for your support.
Thank you. And I do want to take time to thank one of our sponsors, Rebecca Lawler Limited. It's because of Rebecca that we're allowed to have this opportunity to talk to amazing organizations and hear amazing stories and be able to share that with you. I'm not sure if Rebecca, you're listening, but thank you so much for all that you do for us. So please stay tuned, because I believe we have a new show that follows Heart for the Community, which is called Create with Katie. And Katie is amazing. She has beautiful jewelry, has a passion for children. So thank you, everyone. Stay tuned next week. We will actually be talking about grassroots coalition building with Daphne Kwok, who is the chair of the White House Commission on Asian Pacific Islander Initiatives. So have a great week, everyone. Thank you for listening. And remember, together we can change the world one heart at a time.
Soul Sister Radio. Soul Sister Radio.